Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And then if we could turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you're a God that is holy and wonderful, and separate, and yet come and speak to your people. And Father, we pray, Lord, this morning that you would speak to us, each one of us. Oh Lord, that we might see your glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus afresh, and all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We often sing those words of the hymn which says, love divine, or love's excelling. And when we think of just the wonder of God's love, and we think how deep it is, and how glorious it is, and how it reaches down to us, it should cause us to be overwhelmed when we really think of the love of God and his love for us. And it's very easy over the passage of time for us to lose sight of just the amazing nature of the love of God. Before we know God, we have no inkling and no idea of the love of God. When we first get saved, we're overwhelmed by the love of God. But over the passage of time, we can allow our hearts to be dulled just to the depth of his love for us. And the glory of his love, and the greatness of his love, and just the magnificence of his love. And we lose sight of just how far apart the love of God is from any human love. And one of the reasons, I believe, is this, that we lose sight of our need. We lose sight of how reliant we were on a God who is pure love. When the Bible says in 1 John and chapter 4, that God is love. That it means that his very heart throbs with love. It means that everything he does flows from that love. It means that everything about him, every action of his is imbibed by love. That is his very nature. And it means that he cannot do anything but love. And so often over the period of time, we lose sight of the glory of his love, the greatness of his love towards us. And we just lose sight of it. And yet, it should be something that is that fills our hearts and fills our minds day by day, the awesomeness of the love of God. And we only really see the depths of God's love when we see that God's love was manifest towards us, and to see what he did in order for us. It says in Romans chapter 5 that in verse 10 it says we were enemies. And I wonder how often we think of that before we were saved we were enemies of God. How often do we think that we're actually enemies of God? Everything that we were, everything that we did, everything that we said, everything about us betrayed the fact that we're actually enemies of God. How often do we actually think, there is the love of God poured out to me, who was by nature an enemy of God? I wonder how often we let that dwell in our hearts and we think about where we were, what we deserved. It says that we were saved from wrath. It means that by nature, that's what we were deserving. And sometimes we have this sort of, kind of almost like a theological view of, yes, I deserved wrath. But it doesn't really sink deep into our hearts. We have this almost like a kind of a theological idea. Oh, I deserve the wrath of God. We know that, but it doesn't actually affect our hearts. It doesn't really penetrate our hearts and touch our hearts. And yet that is exactly what happened. He was dying for those, and we were being saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus from the wrath that we deserved. That was the love of God. And we see one who was so compassionate and so pitied mankind that he was willing to send the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us. And we see just the glorious nature of that love. And in 1 John and chapter 4, it says that in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. That he loved us. That's the awesomeness of the love of God. This is the depth of the love of God, that he didn't look upon you and think, well, there's a nice person. There's someone who I can deal with. There's someone who I want in my presence. It was all the very throbbing heart of God towards you. And that was out of his throbbing heart for you. Out of the very nature of God, the love of God, the deep, deep love of God. The deep compassion of God for people. The deep pitying of a lost world. The deep, deep care that caused God to love you. Not because he saw there is a person that's got something that's good about them. Not because there's a person that is better than someone else. It wasn't like that. It was just completely the love of God flowing from a loving God, from a God who is love. And that's what came from him. And it reached out to a lost world, to a lost individual, an individual who was by nature a sinner, who was by nature an enemy of God, who was by nature deserving of the wrath of God. And that love of God flowed out to you. And that's the depth of the love of God. And then we think that there, God the Father, who had such love for you as an individual, then says, but in order for that love to reach down to you, and not only to be communicated to you and to be shown to you and manifested to you, but also that in order for you to be reconciled to him, and in order for you to be changed from being an enemy, in order to be a new creation, it also required him to send his only begotten son to die for you, to bear that sacrifice. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he laid down his life. And such is the love of God that the Lord Jesus Christ would lay down his life, that he would bear the mocking, he'd bear the scourging, he would bear the persecution, he would bear the hatred, and he would go ultimately to the cross as your sin bearer to take away your sin. And there at the cross you see the depth of the love of God, the depth of it that caused him to be sacrificed, that led him to be sacrificed as one who was obedient to his Father and saw your need. And I wonder, how often do we plunge, as it were, into the very depths of the love of God? How often do we really meditate upon the greatness of the love of God? How often do we allow our hearts to be filled with just the divine love? We sing happily, love divine or love excelling. But is our heart thrilled by it? Is our heart filled with it? That when we think love divine or love excelling, and it washes over us as like an ocean, and we're overwhelmed by just the power of it and the glory of it and the depth of it and the life of it. And we come and we are overwhelmed. But it begins by us remembering where we have come from. I think of the Apostle Paul, and I think of all people in history. There was someone who grasped the depths of the love of God. And the reason he did was because there, we think so highly of him, through as we read the letters and everything else, we think what an extraordinary evangelist and pastor and everything else. And yet, let us remember, here was a man who persecuted the church, and I know as I read his letters, here was a man who was overwhelmed by the love of God every single day of his life, because he knew where he'd been taken from. He knew what God had done for him. He knew that the love of God had reached down into him, and how it had changed his life, all because of the love of God. He was a man who was overwhelmed by the love of God. He exalted God because of his love. And I wonder, how often do we are we overwhelmed by the love of God and think, oh, how he sent a Savior, how the Father sent a Savior to die for us, that he was willing to endure that pain and that suffering for us, to go through it all for our behalf, to see just the extent of that love, how wide it is, how deep it is, how high it is, how great it is, the love of God for us, and how he, in his very nature as a God who is love, he knows everything about us, he knows every situation that we're going through, he knows every difficulty, and he knows every trial, and he says, I am the God who is love, that reaches down in the midst of our trial, in the midst of our tribulation, in the midst of our difficulty, and says, if you will only cry out to me, if you will only call to me, then you will see me afresh in my love and in my compassion and in my pity and in my care, and receive of my love. A God that reaches down. He reaches down to the lowest place, to the person in the greatest need, and in the greatest difficulty, and reaches out for those who will seek his face. We see the depths of the love of God, and our the depth of our experience of the love of God, and the more we meditate upon it and think about the love of God and think of what he's done for us, it's this that will cause us to love others. It's as we become overwhelmed with the love of God that it will drive us to that place of loving others. We think of the forgiveness of God, the forgiveness of God to us, not deserving his forgiveness. And yet, and now, from that point, we're therefore called to love others. We see at the heart of that in the passage that we read from Matthew chapter 5. It says, "You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hurt you, hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father in heaven." In John chapter 15, it says this, verse 18, John chapter 15 and verse 18, it says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." And then later on in that passage, it says this, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." And the reality is that the unbeliever will, there will always be the unbelievers who will hate the believer. They hated the Lord Jesus, and they will hate the believer. It is what it goes together. It says that the Lord Jesus, he did all these good works amongst them, and yet they still hated him. And they hated him, and it says they hated him without a cause. And we can ask ourselves sometimes, we can say, "Well, I'm doing all these good things for unbelievers, and yet, why is it they still hate?" But they did exactly the same with the Lord Jesus. They hate, and it says they hated him without a cause. And there will always be the hatred towards the believer. But in the midst of all that hatred, the Lord Jesus was still loving them. He was still reaching out to them. He was still healing them. He was still touching them. He was still having compassion on them. When they came round him and they were mocking him, and when they showed hatred, he was still reaching out. When they were mocking him at the cross, he was still dying for them. He was still dying for them. The very people that were mocking him and abusing him and calling out to him, there at the cross, he was dying for them, and he cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though he did all those things, good works, all those works of healing, all of it, it says they hated me without a cause. We shouldn't be surprised when the unbeliever hates us. We shouldn't be surprised, because we're following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. And he had such a love, a deep love. And he says that we are to reflect the love of God. That's the sort of love that we're to have. A sacrificial love. A love that is totally and utterly sacrificial, in the way that the Lord Jesus sacrificed himself. A copying of that, a sacrificial love. A love that loves the ones even though they're hating us. That's the sort of love that is required of us. And lest we think, "Well, I'm not willing to do that." Let us think that God loved us when we were hating him. And let us not sort of smooth it over and say, well, I never really hated God. When we were in that place of unbelief, when we were in that place, when we did not know God, it says we were an enemy of God. And if we were an enemy of God, we were hating God. That was our position. We were haters of God. And yet God still had compassion for us. He was still reaching out to us. He was still bringing other believers past us to share the gospel. He was still speaking to us. He was still convicting us of our sin. He was still revealing Jesus to us by the Holy Spirit. He was still doing that work. That was the love of God. And he says, now, you show the same love to the people who you say, oh, they hate me, they hate us, oh, they do this, oh, they do that. Yes, and they will keep doing that. That is the name, that you do not be surprised. They did it to the Lord Jesus. He says, the servant is not greater than the master. We're following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. We're following in the footsteps of the master. Do not be surprised if that is what happens. It says in that passage in Matthew chapter 5, it says when they to pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, it speaks of this persecution. And it says this, it says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now we know that there are different levels of persecution, but there is a direct link between living a godly life and persecution. Just as there seems to be that link, as it's shown with the Lord Jesus, between doing good and being hated. There's that link, you know, the more you do good for someone, for the person who does not know God, you'll find the more you do it, the more you'll find hatred. And the more you're living a godly life, the more you'll find persecution. But it says for those who do that, pray for them. And I wonder, how much time are we spending in prayer for them? I was thinking about, just as I was thinking about this passage and what the Lord was giving me to share, and seeking his face and praying, I was just thinking of just how even now the Lord Jesus is living to intercede on our behalf. Right now, that's the love of God, that it continues, that Christ is interceding for you. He's living. That's his very ministry right now. He's interceding on your behalf. That's the demonstration of his love right now for you. He's interceding for you. How much are you aware of the intercession of Christ right now for you, living in that way? And that love towards, we might say, the unlovely, the ones that the world will not love. What about us? Are we praying for them? Are we praying for them? And I was, and as I was thinking, considering this, that I read just a couple of verses from Psalm 24, that well-known psalm, which says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." Who will go up into the hill of the Lord? Who's going to go into the presence of God on behalf of these people? Who's going to go into the very presence of God and intercede on behalf of those in need? It's those who've got clean hands and a pure heart. It's only as we have clean hands and a pure heart that we're able to really intercede on their behalf. But when we have clean hands and a pure heart, we can go right into the presence of God and intercede for them. And as it were, follow in the footsteps of our master. Follow in the footsteps of the Lord. In pouring out a love for them by interceding for them. A reflection in just a small, small way of the love of God, because the love of God has impacted us and because the love of God fills our hearts. That's the demonstration, that's the evidence that the love of God has gripped our hearts and has taken over us. It says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. It's that us being the children of the Father, it's that aspect of us reflecting our Father, of us following in some small way, we might say, in some small degree, that God, whose love is utterly separate, whose love is so deep that we can never plunge its depths, and yet he calls us to a divine love, a love that comes from God, fills our hearts, grips our hearts, and then reaches out to them. And so when our hearts are gripped by the forgiveness of God, how God forgives a sinner, how God forgives a wretch like me, and then that means that I'm compelled to forgive them. I forgive whatever they do to me, whatever hatred they show to me, whatever I suffer at their hands, I continue to forgive them. That's the call for each one of us, to continue to forgive them, to continue to love them when they hate us, to continue to do good whatever they might do to us, to keep reaching out to them, to love them unconditionally. Because the love of God, the love of the Father that sent Jesus into the world, the love of the Father towards you was an unconditional love. And God says, now reflect my unconditional love. He says in that passage from Matthew chapter 5, it says this, for if you love them which love you, what reward have you? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. In the great economy or ways of God, he says that we are perfect when we reflect that love, that sacrificial love, that unconditional love, a love that reaches out. He says, oh, it's very easy to love those that love you. It's very easy to greet the ones that you're close to. Oh, it's very easy. And it's true. It's very easy. The person who is kind and thoughtful, the person who's pleasant, it's very easy to love them. But he says, no, I want you to love the ones that hate you. I want you to love the ones that mock you. I want you to love the ones that despise you and spitefully use you. Just take advantage of you. Day in, day out, just taking advantage of you. Those are the ones I want you to love. And the reason is, because, and they're the ones I want you to forgive. Forgive and forgive and forgive. 70 times 7, as the scripture says. And the reason is because God loved us in that same way. That's the sort of love he showed to us. Has it sunk deep into our hearts, the sort of love that God had for us? Has it gripped our hearts? Has it taken hold when that the fact that we were enemies, we were haters, we were persecutors of the things of God, we are haters of the kingdom of God and all the things of God. And when we get hold of the love of God and the magnificence of God and the greatness of God and the power of God, the power of the love of God for us, it will be that will compel us and drive us on to love those, even though they might hate us, even though they might despise us. And ultimately, they will be wooed by the cords of love. The love of God in us, flowing through us to them. A love that is a divine love flowing through God's people, God's vessels, that woos them. It was the love of God that wooed us. It was God wooing us with the cord, drawing us with the cords of love. That's what got hold of our hearts when we were first saved. The love of God and his forgiveness and his great compassion. And it's that love, a divine love, that enters into the heart of a human being and reaches out to a lost, needy person, full of hate, full of cursing, because by their very nature, as it talks about in James, they have that fountain, a fountain of as it were, salt water, a fountain that only can usher up cursing. You look on, you say, well, I'm going to love them. I'm going to bless them. They're the ones I'm going to bless. I'm going to reach out to them. A love that's filled a human vessel, a divine love that's filled you and reaches out to those who are in need, because our God has first loved us, and so we reach out and love them. Amen.